Let us now open God's Word, and we will read Luke 2, verses 1 through 21. Then after that, we also will read a portion of Matthew 10. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, that the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Let us now turn to Matthew 10. Verse 24 through to 39. Here we hear the Lord Jesus Christ when he had grown up and be active in service and traveled around with the disciples preaching the kingdom of God. Then we read these verses that he says, A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. And thus far our reading, the text for this morning is the Christmas Gospel, what we find in Luke 2, verse 8 through 24, through 14, sorry, to 14. Let us read that again, that very important message. Luke 2. This miraculous gospel history of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, young and old, this time of the year at Christmas, we often sing the well-known song, and we hear it singing, Silent Night. It is indeed a very well-known Christmas carol, and it evokes good feelings. It sings about stillness, tranquility in a noisy, often hostile world, calmness in restlessness, brightness in dark surroundings. And of course, it sings about peace. Around Christmas time, almost everyone takes a break from their busy lives. Houses are decorated with hundreds, sometimes even thousands of lights. All that glittering looks nice. And yes, it feels good. But how long does it last? The peace, the rest, the lights, the pressure to perform well in society comes back with vengeance. More stress. And the darkness in this world isn't dimmed at all by all the Christmas lights. Hostility, taking hostages, killings, murders, it all goes on. And also sufferings. We all, one or another at one time, sufferings of illness, even serious illness. Our restless and rebellious culture doesn't provide true peace, calmness, and brightness at all. And good feelings quickly fade away because of the realities of the hardships and sorrows of life. As believers, then, how do we live through that reality of today's everyday's stresses? Let's face it, around us in the Western world, the Christian spiritual climate is getting darker and darker because many live without God and Christ. Despite all the Christmas decorations. Through even if we try to stay positive, it's not easy to be truly joyful. Even the Sundays can become more and more restless. And yet, now also in our singing already, loud and clear, we have shown something different. The message of the church is joy to the world. And this morning, we read two passages from Holy Scripture. The shepherds heard the message, fear not, Christ is born. He will give peace on earth. But then, Matthew 10, the disciples, the church, heard something different. They heard Christ say, do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. But even at that difficult moment with those hard sayings, the disciples too heard the Lord first say, fear not, do not fear. And so this morning in the preaching of the gospel about Christmas, of Christmas, we again hear the Lord's voice. Fear not. Fear not. God's herald angel said this as an encouragement to the shepherds as the awaited Redeemer was born and as was confirmed by the angelic voice choir. Fear not. A congregation, the text starts with a reference to shepherds. At daytime, the sheep had grazed in the region of Bethlehem. And at sunset, the shepherds had driven the different flocks together to one place. In that situation, the shepherds could take turns to watch them by night, keeping the sheep safe against robbers, animals. Now, often the shepherds are painted as rough and smelly men. City people would avoid them. But would that be the right picture of the shepherds? Most probably not. It could well be that these shepherds were familiar with even the high priest in the temple. But their fields were close to the temple in Jerusalem. And there, the daily worship required many animals, including sheep and lambs, for all the sacrifices. So how often would those shepherds enter the temple for their deliveries of animals? Not true. The shepherds needed to be hardy men. They shouldn't be scared in the dark. At any moment, they could be called into action. But during their night shift, a wild animal could stalk the flocks, trying to steal a sheep. The shepherds also had to be alert because of other dangers, the dangers of a flood. Flood waters could suddenly rage around the flock. Or stormy wind gusts could suddenly disturb the animals. And living day and night in the open field would make these men look indeed rough. Yet, congregation, shepherds were caring and loving people, always alert for their flock. Psalm 23 is a beautiful shepherd psalm. In John 10, we have a lovely picture of our tender and caring Lord Jesus as a shepherd. Anyway, the shepherds were hardworking and attentive men, very, very caring. Now, to such people, Christ's birth announcement was made. Look, while during their night shift, the night watch, all other people were fast asleep, the shepherds were not. At first, their night shift seemed just fine, just normal. They suddenly, totally unexpected, happened. Not for the sheep, for the shepherds. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Earlier, indeed before, an angel of the Lord had appeared to Zechariah in the temple. Also an angel was sent to Mary. In Nazareth, as well, to Joseph, Mary's husband, in a dream. They receive these angelic visits in preparation of Jesus' birth. And Luke 1, verse 26, the angel of the Lord is named Gabriel. So in the night of Christ's birth, he was sent also to the shepherds. Now he had to announce the birth of the long-awaited Messiah Redeemer, the Christ. So, beloved, those angel appearances happen to not just people at random. Those appearances from heaven appeared to God-fearing people. They are people who longed for the coming of the Redeemer, that God's promise to Israel would be fulfilled through the Son of David, and that he would establish the kingdom of peace. But on Christmas night, the shepherds didn't have a clue that they would experience the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises. Now, what does the visits of angels and the Old Testament prophetic word show? What is the Old Testament all about? Very prominent is, it shows the Old Testament, it shows that there is a heavenly realm. What is more, it is in that is a divine realm, and that realm interacts with the earth. Or better, the heavenly realm controls life on earth. Well, loved ones, aren't we far too often living as if we exist within the closed dimensions of this world, that we live in a closed world? We can so be preoccupied with the things we see and experience, and especially what we feel. It's today all around us in our psychological and scientific world. And so we can forget that a sovereign God directs life from the realm of heaven. Scripture, and we as believers, indeed, we live and we believe that realm of heaven, the realm indeed of God's presence and actions. And a realm truly exists. For look what happened. And look too. The heavenly realm opened its gate. God again sent his angel to the earth. Now to the shepherds in a super impressive way. For we read, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. The glory of the Lord. The shepherds were, so to speak, wrapped around by the glory of the Lord. A dazzling, even all-piercing light from God enclosed them like a fiery wall. It seemed to arrest and even imprison them. God's all-revealing light showed who those shepherds, who those people were. Sinful and weak. Yes, the shepherds must have felt something like bad guys being tasered and arrested. Beloved, we can't imagine what a splendid sight the glory of the Lord must have been for the shepherds. For sure, it would be more than merely dazzling and blinding. The light of the sun and full moon would only be a very, very dim light in comparison with God's glorious light from heaven on Christmas. Who would not fear? finding themselves suddenly in the presence of God's heavenly glory. No wonder that those shepherds, those hardy shepherds, were terrified, even petrified. They wanted to flee and hide behind something, but there was nowhere to go whatsoever. Everything was exposed. They must have thought, "We are undone. This is our end. We will die." Yeah, what happened? An encouraging word was addressed to the shepherds. Yes, they got a life-giving boost. The very first thing the angel said at that heavenly terrifying moment was, "Don't be afraid." That's "fear not." Well, what does an encouraging and uplifting word from God do to people, to his people? Mind you, a word from God is not a mere wish or an uncertain thing. Neither is it said to the shepherds that they need to rid themselves of great fear. No, in Luke 2, the Bible shows that God's word comes with the power of change, with the power of renewal. And that exactly was the first task of the herald angel there, taking fear and anxiety for death away. Now look at what happened at Christmas night. The shepherds were made ready and willing to listen to their covenant God without fear and trembling. And that's amazing. That's how our sovereign God acts with fallen, weak men. And God often works in a way that overwhelms his people. But ultimately then, because of God's grace and work, his great love, his people joyfully surrender to his word and will. And that's the blessed and powerful effect of God's word. Because of that divine power display in the night of Christ's birth, the shepherds' fear slips away immediately. Instead, terror came, great joy. Their Redeemer, so desperately longed for, was born. And after their fear was gone, we make the transition to our second point. After the shepherd's fear was gone, the herald angel continued to say, "Behold." That is, "Now, O shepherds, listen attentively. I bring you good tidings. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all the people." Those words indeed show the total opposite of what the shepherds had feared. The shepherds didn't get a most horrible death message. Not at all. Being wrapped by the glory of God, they experienced a most blessed miracle. That is, being and staying alive in God's very presence. And the joy of that blessing will also go to all the people. And here all the people are God's covenant people, you and me, and all our people confessing Christ as their Savior. What they were waiting for, the consolation of Israel, think of Simeon. What the people, the shepherds were waiting for, that is now and will come their radiant joy. So people of the Lord, you who are now in the presence of the Lord in God's house, But that's also why we are here as congregation in God's house, in the presence of our most holy God, hearing the gospel of Christ's birth proclaimed, on hearing the good news about your Savior's birth. Also the message is here from God. Rejoice! And that is the hallmark of faith. Not gloom and doom. Not at all. The gospel of Christ truly is joy. Joy to the world. The Shepherd's Joy congregation, as well as our joy, is an emotion, true. But it is not based on our inner feelings. It is based on the reality of who was born in Bethlehem more than 2,000 years ago. It is the clear truth of the Bible. In verse 11, we hear the angel proclaiming this gospel. Let's give proper attention to that message. For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. People had waited for this theme of God's word. There is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Very summary, a full summary of the gospel of salvation. That announcement contains the gospel in a nutshell. The angel's proclamation refers to words and names already used in Scripture in the Old Testament. Look at the word Savior and Redeemer, and then the name King David. His place, Bethlehem. Also, the name Lord, Kyrios, the Anointed One. And that means the Christ, the Messiah. As he was prophesied by the prophet Micah, the prophet foretold his coming in Bethlehem, Micah 5. The names and titles of the newborn child indicate that at Christmas night, all the covenant promises would be fulfilled. The child born in Bethlehem will make the ultimate peace between God and man. Well, shouldn't it be expected that someone with such glorious and even divine names and titles would be born in a palace? Shouldn't he have been placed in a beautiful cradle decorated with gold and silver and diamonds? Yet, to which place did the angel direct the shepherds? And this will, he said, this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Thus, God's gift at Christmas, his son, was not wrapped with the glorious or glittering things of this world at all. On the contrary, the shepherds were directed to a most humble and unpretentious place, a stable. Because, as you know, of official government requirements for the country, Mary and Joseph were not for the birth of Jesus at their own home in Nazareth. And for the same reason, they found themselves restricted to a small nook of a house where they were now staying. It was an area, obviously, where animals were kept. Very Clear details are not given in Luke 2. Only that a manger, a feeding box for animals, became the crib for Mary's baby. Now, let's face it. Being a carpenter, Joseph would have made the best of that place. Nevertheless, what did those poor circumstances of his birth indicate? According to the prophet Isaiah, the Messiah Redeemer would need to live a broken life. That is a life of affliction and suffering, as we read in Isaiah 53. And thus, the poor, humble, and miserable circumstances of Jesus' birth showed that the awaited Messiah Redeemer indeed was born. The baby in the manger is Israel's everlasting king. And so he is also, as he was announced to come for all the people, he is also our Savior. And take note, when Isaiah prophesied about him, especially in the chapters 40 and onwards, the prophet often encourages God's people also by the phrase, "Fear not." From Isaiah 40 and onwards, you hear time and again that phrase, "Fear not." For example, listen to these words in Isaiah 43. "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine, and I will be with you." Announcement also of Christ coming. Beloved, at the moment, we are not wrapped around by the visible glory of God as the shepherds were. And we are not listening to God's herald angel from heaven. And yet, the glory of God's word is now addressed to us through the preaching of the gospel, God's word. Through this means of grace, the truth of God's presence in Christ is now affirmed to us as well. It's this glorious gospel truth that God's Son, God Himself, in His Son, abandoned His heavenly glory and entered our dark world full of brokenness. Jesus, born in Bethlehem, is our Emmanuel, God with us in all the circumstances of life. God with us. In the foregoing, an important historical fact had been mentioned. It is the one that Christmas Gospel makes clear, that we don't live in a closed world. We live, beloved, we live in a world that is open to heaven. And the last verses of our text 13 and 14, they tell us again of that reality. And with this, we made this transition to the last point. The Lord took the fear for their lives away from the shepherds. Their fear totally gone. In an overwhelming, glorious way, the shepherds were confirmed of the joyous birth of the heavenly Prince of Peace. Because suddenly we read, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. A multitude of a heavenly host praising God. For us, that event is impossible to fathom, let alone to describe. It is an experience that we will get after our death or at the return of Christ, when he returns from heaven. And so those shepherds must have felt already as if they would be in heaven, with all those hosts and glory of God around them. That experience makes for a great contrast. On earth, there was suffering and affliction and dangers all around. The earth lays under a black veil of unrest and dangers, fear, even death. Yet for a moment at Christmas night, the shepherds, what did they experience? Well, the dark veil was suddenly ripped away by the heavenly splendor of the angelic host from heaven. And their performance gives the shepherds, and now us also, through God's word and its preaching, the host of angels' performance gives us a view on what goes on and will go on in the kingdom of God. Yes, here we are getting a glimpse of heavenly joy. God's servants of heaven continually were praising God at Christmas, chanting, and the highest, glory to God. And on earth, peace to people of his favor. Glory to God in the heavens. On earth, peace to people of his favor. Our own broken world is a broken up one under an open heaven. Now at Christmas we don't hear of musical instruments. The angelic voices made heavenly music. The voices did. And their praise is missing verbs. So the chants are very short, very, very short catch lines. And the whole performance indeed shows an unimaginable interaction between heaven and earth. What an experience it would have been for the shepherds to hear this heavenly voice choir. The angels were worshiping God's self-revealing glory in heaven. And that's, beloved, the realm of God's kingdom above that broke open at Jesus' birth. In the second line, they also say a glorious thing about the realm below, or the earth. On earth, peace. No, they don't say glory to man, or glory to the ruler of the earth. The angels shout and praise God by singing, on earth peace to people of his favor. And congregation, that is to all the people of God's choice, his chosen people. In other words, God's favor isn't directed anymore to Israel only. From the Christmas night, God's promise to Abraham gets an extension through the child of Bethlehem. All nations will be blessed by God's favor. By that extension, we are included. The born Christ gives peace on the world. The world itself can't give. Jesus will give peace as the world can give, as we read in John 14, verse 27, that the Lord says, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. In fact, the world of unbelief and rebellion will do everything to oppose the peace of heaven. And you know that immediately happened after Christ's birth. Herod tried to kill Jesus. And now I refer to what we also read before the sermon from Matthew 10. There the Lord Jesus says that he did not come to bring peace on earth. He did not bring worldly peace to men. This side of heaven, the peace Jesus gives, his peace continues to bring suffering, strife, unrest, even confusion. Don't be surprised about that. Christ says, what they do to me, they also will do to you. So be prepared for that, beloved. Expect that. But then also in having that, experience that. Don't fear. The message continues to be, fear not. For in me, staying with Christ, you will find true life. So how then should we live? Loved ones, God's favorite ones, the message is live in joyful surrender to your Savior and adore him as your Lord and God. He indeed is the truth, and he is the way and life to peace. Look what did God work in Mary and Joseph on his work, and also in Zacharias as well, in the shepherds. Then later on also Simeon and Anna in the temple, to many others. Where did God work? Where did God work in his people? It is joyful surrender to your Savior and Lord. Like the angels from heaven, they all worshipped and praised God for giving the Messiah King Jesus to redeem from all evil and sin. And so, congregation, do the same week after week, joyfully worshiping God in Christ Jesus through the Spirit. People of the Lord, continually worship God in the highest, receiving his peace in a broken world indeed, but in a world on the way to Christ's restored world at his day. And thus in all circumstances of life, confirm the words of the prophet Isaiah 43. Fear not, for I, Jesus, have redeemed you. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha. Amen.